for our gospel reading, which comes to us from the third chapter of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you will hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Friends, let's pray. Lord, we invite you to be that wind, that breath, that refreshing gift of life to us once again today. Breathe into us, Lord, reviving us, renewing us, restoring us to be the people you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's kind of interesting to me, as Deacon Joanne probably mentioned, we are focusing on the element of air, and I feel like I've been breathless all day today already, but air has been deeply a part of my journey this past week, and maybe most recently in the last several days, as we've all kind of yearned for a breath of fresh air, given the smokes that have come to our area from central Canada. So maybe in the spirit of how we are gathering today, I want to invite you to begin your focus with me this morning to do just that, to breathe. So I'm going to invite you to just draw in a big, deep breath deep down into your lungs. Fill them as fully as you can and hold it for a moment, and then release it. Let's do that together. One more time. The ability to breathe air. It's something that we all learn to do from the very moment that we become independent from our mother's wombs. To breathe air, it's a sign of being alive. Newborns, as well as infants, take about 30 to 60 breaths a minute. Adults, depending on our activity level, inhale and exhale air as frequently as about 20 times a minute. This whole breathing air thing, it's been around for a long, long time. From a scriptural perspective, it was the breath of God that brought everything into being. A quick review of the first two chapters of Genesis reveals a lot about God breathing. A verse in our psalm reading this morning expressed it like this: "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all their host by the breath of his mouth." In the beginning, as Genesis reveals, God is. And God begins his creative action by the breathed out word. Those words are recorded in the scriptures, "Let there be," as if it were a declaration breathed from the depth of God. "Let there be light. Let there be earth and sky and all manner of living things." And it was so. And then in the second chapter of Genesis, the story continues. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. In essence, we could say that throughout God's Word, the scriptures that we read and meditate upon reveal many life-giving, God-breathed moments. From the first moment of creation to the defining moment when humankind was brought to life, God's breath has been active. Now, I recognize that such reflections at this early hour in the morning can be a lot to take in, but I hope that you'll indulge me for another moment or two as we go a little bit deeper on this topic. In the original language of the Old Testament, the word for breath, for wind, as well as for God's Spirit, is all the same word. The Hebrew word, ruach. I like that. Ruach. It kind of comes from the depths of the chest. It was God's ruach, the wind of God's presence, that's credited with the creative action of Genesis. As we read at the very beginning, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. It was God's ruach, the breath of God's presence, that rattled those bones in the desert that you read together a few minutes ago from the prophet Ezekiel. As Ezekiel is called upon to give voicing to the will of God, saying, "Come. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." And it was also God's ruach, the spirit of God's presence, that our Lord Jesus speaks of as he teaches a doubtful Nicodemus one night about the workings of God, of the working of God's spirit, comparing it again to the movement of wind, saying, "The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." Such is the mystery, the power. Over the years, I've used a similar imaging when I've tried to speak to the actions and the vitality of God speaking about wind. Because it's difficult to characterize how God fully works. We don't always see God, but we certainly can see what God does. And that's very much like the wind. We don't see the air, but we see the action of movement of air as it rustles through leaves and as it rocks branches back and forth. Just like the wind, God moves within the lives of God's people, inspiring each and every one of us to have an impact on the lives of others in ways that maybe out of our own strength we would never choose to do. So what's our takeaway from this morning's reflection about air and wind and breath and spirit? Well, I want you to go back with me to how we began, to those basics. So again, I'm going to invite you, take a long, deep breath, breathe it in, breathe it out. One more time, breathe in, breathe out, savoring the gift that just a breath of air can be. As I've been struggling with the smoke in the air these past several days, I've yearned to draw a deep breath and to experience the freshness of air once again. And at least this morning, it's giving an example of that that we have already begun to miss. But thinking about air and breathing drew me to a reading that revealed something that's kind of sad about us as human beings. That most people, I included, tend to breathe in a very shallow manner most of the time, just in the upper part of our chests, rather than really activating the diaphragm and filling those lungs of ours to their fullest capacity, expanding our lungs more fully in what's called belly breathing. Now, of course, there's probably some singers in our midst that are very cognizant of that, but it's not our normal pattern. And of course, the result of shallow, breathy chest breathing, we soon develop the habit of breathing so shallowly that we kind of tighten up, and it brings on stress and tension in our lives as we're marching around and huffing and puffing through activities, hardly taking a breath, until someone finally draws us up short and says, "Just take a deep breath now, Dave, and everything will get better." And I think sometimes that's sound advice to build into our lives on a regular basis. Because we live in a crazy-making world sometimes. It's so fast-paced and seems to be pushing us to greater and greater levels of anxious response that maybe we all could use a refresher course in belly breathing. To breathe in a manner that fills the full capacity of our lungs and makes use of this gift that God has given us. To sit up straighter and stand up taller, and to fill those lungs to their fullest capacity. And even in doing it for just a few moments, has this powerful impact of slowing us down and maybe slowing down that pulse, that blood pressure, and restoring a bit of balance to our lives. Now, of course, as a pastor, I can't help but draw some spiritual connections from all this topic of reflection. With our tendency to breathe in that very shallow manner, it isn't a huge leap for me to look at how prone we are to maybe living our spiritual lives in a shallow manner, rarely achieving the intentionality and the posture that's needed to breathe deeply of the presence of God, to absorb the power of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. From my early youth, I was privileged to be taught how to breathe more fully and properly. Not that I do it well consistently, but as they say, knowledge is empowering. So I want to tell you a little bit of a story from my youth. I grew up in a small town in southern Ohio called Jackson, and this community's earliest settlers came from a place called Wales. That's part of the United Kingdom today. And of course, I didn't know this at the time as a young boy, but these Welsh settlers in my hometown loved their choral singing. Most who had come from that background revered singing, especially as a way of praising God. And so they did all that they could to foster a love for singing in all of the future generations that would follow them. So as a result, throughout my elementary school education, I was expected to participate annually in a traditional music festival that was called in the Welsh language, Eisteddfod. Now, in a nutshell, for several days, this tradition of Eisteddfod was taken really seriously. For months, our music teacher instructed us in proper posture, sitting upright in our chairs, your backs never resting on the back of the chair, feet firmly planted, or if you stood, to stand tall, expanding your chest, filling your lungs to their fullest capacity, using that diaphragm to serve as an instrument not only to draw in air, but to force air back out through this beautiful instrument of a voice, as she called it. Well, after much practice, the time of the Eisteddfod had arrived. And in a nutshell, for the better part of a two-day period, the school auditorium was a staging area, as an endless parade of youngsters from grade 1 through grade 6 would step up individually to a microphone, hour upon hour, and sing a coached, age-appropriate solo before an audience of parents and grandparents, and yes, a panel of judges, if you can believe it, who would grade your performance and the quality of your singing. I can't even imagine such a thing happening today. Now, why share this story from my past with you? Well, mostly because it took me on this journey again of remembering the power of breath support. What I learned to become a more effective singer as a youth, I believe, can be applied in a spiritual manner. Specifically, to breathe in deeply the presence and the power and the peace of God, claiming the full value of what I call God's breath support. In some ways, that's what this practice of worship is all about for us. It's our opportunity each week to pause, to draw in a deep breath, if you will, to slow down the pace of life, and to savor the presence of God. But in order to encounter God and to claim His life-giving, energizing breath support, it's got to be more than just on a Sunday morning or an occasion of worship. It needs to be done daily, just as breathing is a part of our everyday existence. We need to practice breathing deeply and regularly. Now, how is such a practice achieved? Well, the same way as breathing. To inhale, to exhale, to inhale fully God-breathed words of Scripture, maybe found in your Bibles or in a devotional, to pause at the early part of your day before you've gotten all stressed out and slow things down a bit, quiet oneself, read something that inspires, that gives hope, that grants strength as you face the challenges of your day, and perhaps to carry a breath prayer with you through the day, a simple message to self, Jesus, as you breathe in, be in my work. Jesus, be in my commitments. Jesus, be my strength. And then not only just to inhale, but also to do the exhale part is also balancing. To practice exhaling fully those things that bring tension and toxicity into our lives, into our minds, into our hearts and our spirits, to allow God to become God in every moment of our lives. Breathing in Jesus, breathing out what's toxic and poisonous to our spirits. Dear friends, this has been my journey this week. To be reminded afresh, God is our breath support, a life source that is as close and as accessible as our very next breath. But I wonder if we're using God's presence to its fullest, just as maybe we aren't always using our lungs to their fullest. So this week, as you ponder this gift of our topic this week, that of air, learn to be mindful of the one who longs to become breath support for all of us. The air, the wind, the spirit, the breath of life that fills us with life. Thanks be to God.